Our sermon text this morning is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. That's on page 861 of the hardback black Bibles that are in the pews around you. While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. And now even more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This story of a man full of leprosy coming to see Jesus and being made clean, it comes at us quickly and viscerally. Leprosy was a disease that showed up on the skin and was, the rabbis of the day called it a living death. They talked about lepers being corpses walking around. It is a brutal, terminal disease that disfigures and that alienates. Mother Teresa, toward the end of her life of caring for lepers, said, "You know, we have drugs now that can deal with the physical symptoms of the disease. But the drugs don't touch the heart of the disease. It's the disease of being unwanted." This man who came to Jesus was coming out of a lifetime of being unwanted. A story like this that draws us in with these terse physical details is meant to activate our imaginations. It's not sufficient with a story like this to analyze it and understand what was going on. What's the offering that Moses commanded? What's the priest got to do with it? What was leprosy like? We're meant to relive this story, get inside of it, and experience it. So this morning, before I preach the implications of the text, I want to tell you the story in great imaginative detail. And because we're meant to read this story and relive it, not just as a third-person spectator, but from the inside, as the leper, I'm going to tell the story as the leper. And I invite you to imagine along with me. So, when it first began so long ago, I thought it was nothing more than a new callus, a rough, whitish patch of dying skin on my right big toe. The first few times I stumbled walking across a smooth street, I just thought it was an odd moment, nothing more. And then another patch appeared on my thumb, and another one on my elbow. At that point, I knew what was happening, but I tried to hide from it. I wore longer sleeves, hoping nobody would notice. It didn't work. The patches kept spreading. They kept multiplying. It was my older brother who spotted the one creeping up the side of my neck. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I will never forget the disgust on his face. It's not like I was his favorite person before that day, but I became the cockroach in his soup. His finger lashed out at me like a whip, like a gavel. I recoiled. I tripped over the kitchen table and I crashed to the floor, and Mom and Dad came running in from the garden that moment, watching their eyes follow my brother's accusing finger and realize what was going on. That moment is still the longest in my life. Going blind from the disease didn't stop me from picturing every day the pity and the shame on Mom's face, the cold resolution creased in Dad's forehead, the shape of his lips as he uttered, "Out. Now." Word must have spread pretty fast from there. I ran out of the house and curled up to hide in a back alleyway. But it was only a few hours before one of the village elders found me, spat on me, chased me out of town. That started 8 years alone. 8 years of days dragging myself through the city gates, trying to find a place downwind of everybody where I was allowed to be, begging for scraps, deciding again and again whether to display my disgusting self in hopes that would lead to more pity and more bread, or to hide what repulsed everyone else and me. 8 years of nights tossing and turning in a cypress grove by myself, trying to decide who to hate most. My brother, my dad, me, God. 8 years of my body shriveling up like a drying fig, like a corpse. Hands clenching into claws, feet wearing down to stumps, eyes dimming, knees swelling, everything going numb. 8 years of no one speaking a word to me. 8 years of having to be grateful if somebody saw me and dropped a handful of olives in the dust before scurrying to the other side of the street. But then the day came. I had been hearing these half rumors, passersby exclaiming about somebody who was different, somebody who did impossible things. And then there was a shout. He's on his way. I heard a clamor of footsteps, a crowd moving down the road, and I dove toward him. I don't know what made me do it. I hadn't moved toward anybody in years. My whole life had become one long recoiling, one long avoiding of me and by me. But that day, I flung myself into the middle of the road towards the crowd, the gasps and the hisses and the curses knifed into my eardrums. The stampede of retreating footsteps battered me. Maybe I shouted so loud to drown those footsteps out, shouted in the one direction no curses were coming from. Shouted into the silence, shouted words I didn't consider, didn't understand, much less believe. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. There was a pause. Even the outraged onlookers shut up and got still. And then, 10 hammering heartbeats later, he was touching me. My filthy, disfigured, hideous head was in his hands, and he was lifting my chin from the ground with such relentless gentleness. And then, like an evening breeze on a summer day, like a melody, 4 simple words, I will be clean. My eyes opened and I could see him. He put his forehead right up against mine and his face shined. Shined with laughter and delight, shined with tears and compassion, shined on me. Has anyone ever been looked at like that before? Like I was his whole reason for being? Like he had been waiting a million years for that moment. That moment with me. He pulled me into a hug that held me together and cracked me open. There was a whisper in my ear. My child, save the story for later. For now, go see the priest. Let him call you what you are. Clean. Whole. Made new. Make the offering. Enjoy the party. I mostly listened. I went to the priest, who didn't recognize me and then barely believed me. But we did make the offering, just like Moses said, and then once the party started, I couldn't help myself. How could I not give credit where credit was due? How could I not shout the glad news to all the people who wanted to see me? I mean, people wanted to see me. How could I not laugh and dance when all of a sudden my body could laugh and dance? How could I not enjoy just a little extra the confusion and embarrassment on my big brother's face when he realized what had happened? It's been 2 weeks now, and I can feel. I can feel the cool water on my tongue. I can feel the scrapes on my knuckles and the grass between my toes. I can feel the sickle in my strong, supple hands. I can feel the ache in my shoulders after a day in the fields. I can feel my mother's cheek against mine and my niece's sweet little head laying against my collarbone. I've never been this alive, not even before. I don't know how he did it. I don't know why. But I know he did more than make me clean. He made me loved. That's what it's like for a leper to encounter Jesus. That's what it's like for anyone to encounter Jesus. We're meant to relive this story because it is our story. We are all lepers. In Jesus, any leper can be loved. And in Jesus, we are called to love lepers. That's the story you're being invited into. So, we are all lepers. Leprosy is a disease that is at work in some human bodies, actually very few now, just recently in the last century or so, we've almost eradicated the physical disease. But leprosy is also a disease that is at work in all all human souls, and all human stories. You may know leprosy as a disease of the skin. You may picture a person terribly disfigured with lesions and sores all over their skin. But leprosy is not actually a skin disease. It doesn't cause lesions and sores directly. Leprosy is a disease that operates not on the visible surface of a body, but inside, in the core. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nervous system. And then, the inability to feel pain leads to lepers injuring themselves, picking up lesions and sores and infections that they don't notice because they can't feel them. And then the visible damage, the visible injury, leads to alienation, leads to lepers being avoided and avoiding others. Leprosy is a disease that hides pain, that invites injury, and that avoids people. That's how leprosy works. I can't think of a better definition of sin than hiding from pain, inviting injury, and avoiding people. And that's a disease we all have. Particularly, remember Mother Teresa's definition, hiding from the pain of being unwanted. So a young man, fed up with the pain of feeling unwanted and unnoticed by the women he's interested around him, decides to hide from that pain, to try and cut it off and pretend it doesn't matter to him. And that leads directly to him injuring himself, to turning away from the actual women around him and toward women he can find online. Again and again, he watches pornography and builds up a callus over his own sexuality, a lesion. It's only years later that he realizes the extent of the injury, of the damage that's been done, that he has become someone who is incapable of interacting with, of having a real relationship with a woman whose body and will haven't been altered and enhanced to suit his dark fantasies. Hiding from pain, injuring himself, avoiding and being avoided by real people. This is what leprosy does to us. This is how sin works. And we are all lepers. Nancy and Marianne in Sunday school this morning brought up the modern culture of pain avoidance. We've almost made it a moral imperative to experience as little pain as we possibly can, to hide from any pain we can hide from, no matter what injuries that leads to, and no matter how many people we have to avoid in order to do so. It is no coincidence that we live in the most comfortable, pain-free society in history and the loneliest, most avoidant culture that has ever existed. Those things go together because they're both a part of the leprosy of our souls. So while you may not experience this leprosy in the way that that young man does, or in the way that someone addicted to fentanyl who's hiding from their pain chemically, no matter how much it injures them and how much they end up avoiding people, does, right? If there are relationships that you have walked away from, or relationships you've stayed in but just accepted no-fly zones, we don't talk about that because it leads to pain. This same leprosy is at work in you. We are all lepers, finding ways to hide from the pain of being unwanted, injuring ourselves in the process, avoiding whatever people would bring that pain back to the surface. We are all lepers. Good news. Jesus loves lepers. Jesus wants the unwanted. Jesus invites you to do exactly what the leper in the story did. Bring your leprosy to him and be loved. The leper comes to Jesus in the story. He's coming out of a life of being unwanted, of everyone running away from him. It's not just that he feels like maybe people wouldn't want him. He has experienced it. He's had it confirmed again and again. But Jesus is different. Jesus doesn't recoil. Jesus reaches out. Jesus doesn't avoid him. Jesus touches him. Not just him in general, touches his leprous skin. The parts of him that are least wanted and most repulsive. And says, I will be clean. There is a whole world inside of those few simple words. I will be clean. To be clean meant, this is real shorthand, so bear with me. To be clean meant to be worthy to be in God's presence. And it was considered a really important thing in Jesus' day to be worthy to be in God's presence. And so the people of the day, the Jews, they put a lot of effort into being clean, into cleansing themselves. But leprosy was a state of uncleanness that nobody could do anything about. There are provisions that you can find earlier in the Bible for dealing with lesser skin diseases. But this kind of situation where the man is full of leprosy, it's an advanced stage, his body is completely covered, it was considered untreatable and terminal. He was just going to be unclean until he died. So he's responsible for being clean. And he cannot make himself clean. And Jesus says, I will be clean. The people of the day already knew that it was important to be clean, important to be worthy to come into God's presence. Jesus is showing them that God is willing to make them clean. They don't have to try to make themselves worthy anymore. Jesus will take care of it himself. You do not have to clean yourself up and make yourself more desirable before coming into God's presence. Jesus wants you as you are, full of leprosy, covered in uncleanness. Jesus loves you. He will make you clean. How will he make you clean? By his blood. This is in the text, but it's not obvious. I want to take a few minutes to show you this because it matters enormously. So Jesus, he says, I will be clean. The leper is restored. All of his leprosy is taken away. And then he says, go to the priest and make the offering. The offering was, they would get two birds. And then one of the birds would be sacrificed, would be put to death. And you would take the dead bird's blood and sprinkle it on to the other bird and then set the second bird free. Release it to fly away, covered in the blood of another bird. Weird and visceral and counterintuitive, yes? Also exactly what was happening between Jesus and the leper. Jesus is the bird who is sacrificed, and the leper is the bird who flies away covered in Jesus' blood. This is, the leper can't understand in this moment, but that's the full force of Jesus saying, I will. He's not just saying, hey, it would be nice if you were clean. I'd prefer it. He's saying, I'm willing to die so that you can live. I am willing to trade places with you. Think about it. At the beginning of the story, the leper is visibly disfigured, living outside of the city because he's not allowed into any building, existing in this state of living death. And at the end of the story, the leper is made clean and whole and new. He's welcomed into the city. He's the center of a party. He is full of life. At this point in the story, Jesus is whole and new. Everywhere he goes, he's the center of attention. People clamor to see him. He's full of life. But that's not how the story will end. The story will end with Jesus visibly and brutally disfigured, sent out of the city, abandoned by his friends, nailed to the cross in a state of living death. When Jesus says, "I will," he's saying, "I love you enough to take your place. You having life is so important to me that I will die." He's saying, "I love you completely. I know all of your leprosy, all of your unworthiness, all of your uncleanness, all of your shame. And I am willing to take it all on and give you all that I have to give." We are all lepers. To be a human being is to be afflicted in the soul with this disease of hiding from pain, injuring ourselves, avoiding and being avoided. In Jesus, as a leper, you can be loved. And that's your part in this. Come to Jesus as a leper. As someone who cannot make yourself clean and needs him to do it for you and cries out for him to love you enough to be willing to do it for you, because he says, "Yes, I do love you. I am willing. I will die that you might live." Lots of people come to Jesus for all sorts of reasons. They're curious, they're excited, they want help with this problem or that problem, they want to hear some really cool Bible teaching, all kinds of reasons. It's the people who come like lepers who are saved. That can be this person in this story who's actually full of physical leprosy, or it can be one story back, Simon, who looks clean and wonderful on the outside, but encounters Jesus and realizes, no matter how impressive my life might look to my cousins and neighbors, I am not worthy to be in the presence of God. I am not clean. And Jesus says, "I know. Stay with me. I love you. Whatever your story is, however clean or unclean you look to the people around you, however worthy or unworthy you feel, come to Jesus as a leper and be loved." He says, "Yes." He says, "I'm willing." He says, "I love you." Come to Jesus and receive that kind of love, and then walk with Jesus and carry that kind of love forward. In Jesus, we are made to be beloved lepers, and in Jesus, we are called to love. So now we have this reception of being completely known and completely loved, and it's meant to be paid forward. This is going back to one story ago that we covered last week. The last story ended with Simon recognizes his own uncleanness. Jesus says, "I want you with me. I love you. I will make you clean." And then Simon leaves everything and follows Jesus, which means Simon is here watching what's happening. He's seeing the whole thing between Jesus and the leper play out. And he's beginning to realize this is what Jesus meant when Jesus said, "Simon, from now on, you'll be fishing for men. It's going to look like this. You're going to live according to my pattern. You're going to learn to do things my way. You're going to learn to love other lepers in my name." This is, for any Christian in the room, this is our fundamental calling. Being loved by Jesus, we begin to love like Jesus. Paul Brand was a missionary kid in India who then went to medical school, returned to India, and founded what was then called a leprosarium, a place for lepers who weren't welcome anywhere else to come and live. And over the course of his time at the leprosarium, Dr. Brand discovered how leprosy worked. He figured out all that stuff I was telling you about. It's not really a skin disease. It's actually attacking the nervous system. And having discovered that, he developed treatments. And he was able, over the course of time, to reverse not just the physical disease, but to start treating the unwantedness as well. For instance, a young man named Nemo, who was full of leprosy, came to see Dr. Brand in the depths of despair. And over the course of many years, under his care, Nemo was not only healed of leprosy, but he became a physical therapist, a professional toucher. He was made whole and made new. How did Dr. Brand accomplish this? By seeking instead of hiding, by healing instead of injuring, and by staying instead of avoiding. Dr. Brand and the people who came to work with him were the only folks going out to find lepers. Everybody else was hiding from them. It was pain they didn't know how to deal with, and so they hid from it. But Dr. Brand, in Jesus' name, sought these folks out, and he put his hands on them. He touched the places of their deepest pain and greatest shame. And through that tactile, intimate work, he began to learn what was really going on in the body of a leper. And then he would stay with these folks. Nemo had dozens of surgeries over the course of 5 years. It was not a quick fix. And the whole time, Nemo and others lived in the same house as Dr. Brand and his wife. They stayed together. That's our call, to love people by seeking pain instead of hiding from it, by healing instead of injuring, and by staying instead of avoiding. There are lepers all around us. Everybody you can see right now. All of us carry pain we've been hiding from our entire lives because we don't know what to do with it. We're called to seek it out, to reach out and touch those places, and then to stay. To wait with someone through their sense of being profoundly unwanted, and show them, not just tell, but show them that in Jesus they are loved. This is not something that we can do in our own strength by any means. In fact, Jesus himself shows us this, that we need to draw on greater love and greater strength than we have within ourselves. The story, after this intense encounter between Jesus and the leper, continues. But now, even more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus, as he continues to work wonders, not surprisingly, lots of people come to see what he's doing, right? Because they want what he has to offer. Hope, instruction, healing, they want something from him. But Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That verse is talking about a habit, not just something that happened one time. Jesus knew that his own sense of being loved and being wanted couldn't come from the crowds who wanted something from him. He knew that it came from his Father. And he restored his sense of being wanted and loved in prayer with the one who didn't want what he could do, but wanted him. It's been several weeks now, but you may recall that in chapter 3, Luke lays out the cornerstone, the heartbeat, the basic pattern of Jesus' prayer life. Right, it says, after Jesus was baptized, he was praying, and the Spirit of God came down to him and said, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." The essence of prayer for Jesus is hearing his Father say, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." Not with all the stuff you did today, I am well pleased. Not with all the promises you've made to do better next week, I am well pleased. With you, I am well pleased. This is what prayer is for Jesus. It's not an effort to be clean. It's a remembering that he is loved. Prayer for us is not meant to be an effort to be clean, to pray enough, to confess sincerely enough, to intercede fervently enough. It's meant to be a remembering that we are loved. That God sees you as you are. You are completely known in all of your uncleanness and all of your unworthiness, and he reaches out and touches you and says, "You are my beloved child. In you, not in what you did today, not in your promises to do better next week, in you, I am well pleased." And experiencing this, knowing ourselves to be beloved lepers, this is what sets us free to love the lepers around us. We know firsthand the love that all lepers need. The love that flows from the one who doesn't want anything from us, but wants to be with us. The one who reaches out and puts his hands on the worst, the ugliest, the least clean parts of you and says, "I love you. Stay with me." We're going to take some time now to practice this kind of prayer. So I'm going to lead you through an imaginative prayer exercise where we put ourselves back in this story and encounter Jesus. So do what you can to get comfortable, with the caveat. If you're sitting with someone you know, the ministry of touch is absolutely central to what Jesus does here. So I would not compel, but invite you, if both parties are willing, to put a hand or an arm, lean a shoulder against, but reach out and touch one another. If both parties aren't willing, don't do it. Right? In the story, the leper and Jesus are both willing. Right? But if that's true for both of you, I'd invite you not to go through this isolated. Now, turn your attention to your own leprosy, your greatest uncleanness. Maybe there's a particular memory of failure or of being unworthy. Maybe there's a human voice that's had a lot of power in your life, reminding you, telling you that you're unclean. Maybe there's an ongoing habit, pattern of behavior or thought that you yourself are disgusted with. But bring that to mind. Know yourself to be a leper. Now imagine that your leprosy is as obviously visible as the man in the story. that it's not something you can hide, but it's apparent to everyone. Now picture Jesus. He doesn't recoil at the sight of you. He doesn't turn away or remain at a distance. He walks right up to where you are. Kneels in front of you. He reaches out his hands and places one on each side of your head, looking you in the face with eyes full of love and compassion. He says, "I will. Be clean. I see who you are, and I love you. However unworthy you feel, however unwanted you've been, I count you worth dying for. I want you to live with me in my house forever." Amen. This table that we come to each week is a reminder of exactly that reality. Jesus wants to feast with you.